Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night, God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thy enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Then Solomon came from his journey to the high place that was at Gibeon to Jerusalem from before the tabernacle of the congregation and reigned over Israel. Bless the word of the Lord. We want to come today from the thought, more than you ask God for. More than you ask God for. God, we pray your blessings upon your people, upon your word, that we might continue to go forth and believe your word. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall stand. In Jesus' name, amen. More than what you ask God for. Have you ever stopped to consider the things you ask God for and why? Why do we want these things? Why are they so important to us? Who will benefit or be blessed by these things we ask God for? Do they glorify God? Will they bless God's kingdom, or are they self-serving? If God gave you the opportunity to ask him for anything that you wanted, what will you ask God for, and why would you ask for it? As we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we will find that King Solomon was granted this opportunity by God to ask God for whatever he wanted. And as we look closer at what Solomon said, how he responded, let us consider these three points. Number one, God's offer to Solomon. God's offer to King Solomon. Number two, King Solomon's response to God's offer. And number three, God's response to King Solomon's request. Number one, God's offer to King Solomon. Number two, King Solomon's response to God's offer. Number three, God's response to King Solomon's request. God gave Solomon carte blanche, blank check, drawn on heaven's account. You know, you can't get everybody your checkbook. Can I get a witness? You can't get everybody your credit card. Because they will take it to the living. Because they think because you gave them a credit card, they just go buy and buy and buy. But God gave Solomon carte blanche. He gave him a blank check that's drawn on heaven's account and said, Solomon, ask me for whatever you want. That's powerful. What would you ask for? That car?
I
want
to fly.
Amen. We'll get some wings. That house? That husband, that wife, money, fame, fortune? What will you ask God for? I like what Solomon did. Solomon had sacrificed to God, and God responded to the sacrifice. And in that night, God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee in verse 7. And look what Solomon said in verse 8. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and hast made me to reign in his stead. In other words, Solomon said, I don't have this thing twisted. The only reason that I am king is because you made me king in my father's stead. In other words, I'm not going to get all filled up on my kingship, because I know where my kingship comes from. That's awesome, because Solomon's saying, God, you did this. You placed me here. So I'm not going to take the opportunity, the privilege, to ask you for something that I really don't need. But I'm thinking about where you put me. I'm thinking about where you placed me. I'm thinking about my kingship. I'm thinking about all these people you put me over. That's what I'm thinking about. See, sometimes when God calls us to do something, we don't think about what God called us to do. We think about our title. We think about our position. We think about what would look good for a king. Rolls Royce, couple more diamond rings, little gold too. What would look good? Yeah, leave the gold tooth out. My. What would reflect, what would I ask God for? But Solomon said, God, not only have you blessed me, you blessed my father David. And you made me to reign in his stead. And you know, sometimes when people say that, mean that there were some folk that didn't want me to be. But you made it happen. You made me to reign in his stead. Look at verse 9. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David, my father, be established. Solomon, before I ask you for anything, let me understand that everything's all right. Let me understand that whatever you promised my daddy, you about ready to promise me and establish me. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and the multitude. I love the humility of Solomon. He said, evidently you think I can do this. Or that you can use me to do this because there are a lot of people that you put me over. And mind you, he's going to have people under him and people under them to govern the land. But he says, but God, ultimately, I'm responsible for what happens in your kingdom. I wish I had a witness, because you can't be like Adam and Eve and God blame shifting. Because when you're king, when you're in charge, ultimately, it's your responsibility. So Solomon, he says, you may be king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude. In other words, my mind is blown. And in my mind, I'm thinking Solomon's saying, God asked me to ask him for whatever I want. But I'm so blown, I'm so messed up by the fact that you may be king over all these people. Let me just flow up before I answer. See, sometimes you got to wait. You got to watch before you leap. You got to. That's why sometimes if you have a kid in your house, and you tell them, go ahead, eat whatever you want. They come to you 2 hours later with stomach ache. God is telling Solomon, you can have whatever you want from me, and I'm God.
I am God.
And Solomon's slowly moving into this. Solomon responds to God's offer. Solomon says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this people that is so great? Wow. Solomon said, you know what I want from you, God? I want what I need to do the job that you called me to do. I'm not worried about suits. I'm not worried about robes. I'm not worried about crowns. I'm not worried about horses. I'm not worried about chariots. I'm not worried about footmen. I'm worried about being able to do the job, the ministry that you called me to do. And the fact that you appeared to me and gave me carte blanche, I want to be very, very careful about what I ask you for, because I don't know if you're coming back. If I mess up this time, God, I don't know if you will give me a second chance. He said, but I need wisdom and knowledge that I might go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this our people that is so great? More than what you ask God for. Look at God's response. And God said to Solomon, verse 11, because this was in thine heart. Watch it. Not because it was on your mind. Because this was in thine heart. I come to let somebody know today that when we petition God, he's not looking at your lips. God is looking at your heart. See, man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And you and I can fool each other all day long, but what's the motive behind what you're asking for? He says, Solomon, because this was in thine heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because this was in thy heart. Because you got the kingdom in your heart. Because you have my people in your heart. Because the position I gave you is really in your heart. And you want to do an awesome job for my glory. Because this was in, I need somebody to understand that when God calls you to do something, it's not about you. It's about what's in your heart, about what God gave you to do. And what is it that you need to do the job, to do the ministry that God has called you to do? Solomon said, I want to be known. Solomon didn't say, I want to be great. Solomon said, God, because you blessed me with this kingly position, I want to be effective at being a king, so I know I need some stuff from you. I need some wisdom, and I need knowledge. When you read the book of Proverbs, don't forget, that's written by Solomon in his old age. So he knows something about wisdom and knowledge. But God says, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies. Solomon's a bad dude. I would have had to cut my enemies up in there. I had to. Lord, knock this one off for me, man. All right. You know, but he is so focused. You know what would happen to God's church if we all got focused? If we all went and petitioned God, said, God, you know what? Give me what I need to do ministry so I can partner with the other ministries in the church so I can turn this community upside down. Give me what I need for. Somehow Solomon understood if I just put God. When you take care of God's business, he'll take care of your business. I don't know when God will let me preach the message, but there is a connection between God's storehouse and your house. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. But when you put God first, when you stop putting other stuff before God, when God comes to you and say, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. When you got enough God in your heart to ask for the things of God, to do the things God has called you, God will bless you with more than you ask for. The Word of God says Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge. But God responded and said to him, you didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for wealth or honor, nor the life of thy enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but you ask for wisdom and knowledge for thyself. Not that you could be the smartest person in the world. Not that people could look upon you and respect you and talk. You ask it for thyself, for that thou mayest judge my people. Solomon, they are not your people. They are my people that I have entrusted in your hands. And you realize that I blessed you to be king over them. But because it's in your heart to do a good job to bless these people, you ask for wisdom and knowledge over whom I made thee king. Don't lose focus on who called you. Because you're going to start messing up. You're going to start stumbling all over the place. When you think of you, you're going to start stumbling all over the place. Stuff's going to start falling down. Because when we disconnect from the spiritual anointing that falls upon us for doing ministry, then there's a disconnect there, and we begin to work in the flesh. We begin to steal God's glory. We begin to do stuff for our own. We begin to get recognition. We begin to look for a position, and all of a sudden, nothing's working out. Now, I do know in the future Solomon messed up, but I praise God for being a right now God. God, I'm looking in your heart right now. Then in verse 12, God said, because that was in thy heart, I'm going to give you more than you asked for. He said, I'm going to give you some wisdom, and I'm going to give you knowledge. That you got that. And in addition to that, I'm going to give thee riches. And well, can you imagine Solomon getting up every day going on his job? He ain't worried about nothing. I gave you wisdom and knowledge so you could govern my people for my glory. But because wisdom and knowledge is in your heart, because you didn't ask for all the other stuff, because you didn't ask for money, you didn't ask for prestige, you didn't ask me to kill your enemy, you didn't ask me to even allow you to live a long life, you asked me for stuff that you could do the job that I called you to do. God needs more folk in the church that's at the altar saying, God, I want what I need to do the job that you called me to do. I'll give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. That's powerful. I'm not going to give you stuff that you didn't ask for. I'm going to hook you up so deep that nobody's going to ever have what you have. Because that was in thy heart. Search your heart. What's in your heart right now? What are you really looking for from God? What are you really looking for? How about when you ask God for a job, you get a job, and then you don't come to church? And then you don't pay no tithes and offerings. No, what's in your heart? Because we really can't fool God, because God knows your heart. You're just fooling yourself. How about we ask God for the house, and God gave you the house, and then you got to stay home and clean the house? Not on Monday through Saturday, Sunday. Nah, Sunday. How about, God, will you please bless my body? And your body feel good Monday through Saturday to go to work. But Sunday, what's in our hearts? When we come to do ministry here, what's in our hearts? Why do we want to be in charge? Why do you want to be the leader? Why do you want to be a preacher? Why do you want to be a pastor? Is your heart right? Solomon had that thing right. He said, God, you put me here. And because you put me here, I don't know anybody else to call on to get what I need to do the job that you called me to do. I'm not resigning, said Solomon. I'm going to do the job. And whatever you give me, I need wisdom and knowledge. I know I need that. I need wisdom and knowledge. He said, I'm going to give you so much more. So Solomon was unique because God gave him more than he asked for. When you understand who God is and who God is in your life, then you understand what you ask of God is connected to what God would have you do in your life. See, we got this thing, if I give all this to God, God ain't going to take care of me. That's a lie.
Because if you do what you need to do for God, God will bless you. God will keep you. God will take care of you. He'll make your enemies your footstool. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes. I know we got a lot of folks here. God has shown you favor. You know why he showed you favor? Because when you didn't have, you still had him. Because when you didn't have, you still worship him. When you didn't have, you still prayed to him. When you didn't have, you still pressed your way to the house of prayer. When you didn't have, you still believed God. And you still came to Bible study. And you still did what you needed to do when you didn't have. So that when you do have, you already know how to act. God will bless us when we do what we need to do when we don't have. Lord have mercy. And that's what the song was. Your miracle's on the way. Your blessing's on the way. Because when you don't have, you do have. It's just not here yet. Oh my God. When you have a spirit of expectation, why do you think Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge? Don't you know that he knew God had more than that? Somewhere Solomon knew from his father, King David, that if you just ask for the things that you need to bless God and to bless God's people, God will double back and your cup will run over and your cup will run over and your cup will run over. But you got to get it straight. We got to get it straight. We got to get it straight. We got to get it straight. You got to have humility. And that's kind of good because I think when Solomon looked at all the people, he said, oh my God. Oh Lord. God, you put me over all. And guess what? Solomon said, guess what? If God put me over them, then I got to go back to God to get what I need. When God calls you, guess what? He calls you to himself. And it's not just a one-time deal. You got to keep going back to God to get what you need because God will continue to bless you in what you need. That's why you don't need to be afraid when God calls you to do something. You're right. I can't do it. You can't do it. I can't. Not within my own strength. Not within my own. But by the grace of God and by the power of God and by the mercy of God, I can do whatever God called me to do. And it's not dependent upon who believes it or not. That's why sometimes you tell folk what God is telling you to do, they look at you like you're crazy. They can't see because God didn't appear to them at night. You know why? Because you made the sacrifice, they didn't. It says Solomon made sacrifices along with the congregation. See, when you make a sacrifice, everybody don't have to be in there with you when you make your sacrifice. God will respond to your sacrifice. You sacrifice to God, you're pulling on him. When you sacrifice to God, you're tugging at God. And God said, okay, let me go ahead and see what this boy wants. Yeah. Amen. You ever just been sad? You ever been believing God for something and God, you just feel his presence? Yeah. Amen. Amen. You just, all of a sudden, you just felt something lift off. I wish I had a witness in here. You felt something lift off you? Yeah. It wasn't no magic. Because you know, like 20 minutes before, you was burdened out on your way through the state of depression. And God put a detour in your life. And you felt something come up over you, off of you, and you say, God. And that's why you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Because a lot of times it doesn't look like what it should be, but it's going to be. Because whatever God promised you, whatever God said to you in your ear, whatever God said to you in your prayer closet, that thing going to come to pass. And can't no devil in hell stop what God has prepared for you. The only one that can block your blessings is you. Because when the delivery man came, if you're not home, if you're not in a position to receive what God, fear will mess up the delivery. Delivery man come to see somebody full of faith, and you in there, I don't know if you're going to bless. He said, this is the wrong house. Because the house I'm supposed to be delivering to, I ought to see the praises coming out the door. I ought to hear somebody blessing the Lord and praising God and shouting out. I used to think folk was crazy when I first came back to the church. They talking about they were sick and they started shouting. I said, wait a minute. If you were sick, get somewhere and sit down. And then pray for something healing. Get somewhere and sit down. Because if you mess up around and fall out, we're going to stop the service to pick your sick. up. You stay around God long enough, you understand
that in the midst of that service, God spoke to them. I ain't trying to block nobody from God speaking to you. I know we have a program, we have a service, but when God speaks, God got to speak. I can't say, all right, cut out all that shouting, cut out all that speaking in tongues, cut out all that dead, no God speaking. Because God appeared to somebody and he gave them and said, I'm going to give, matter of fact, I'm going to give you more than what you asked for. Solomon, why did Solomon get more than what he asked for? God said, I see your heart. I see you really do love me. I see you're real serious about this thing. I see you're serious about your life and me. I'm going to bless you so you said stuff you don't have to worry about. Hallelujah. So when you come in tired from being a king, you ain't got to worry about your wealth. You ain't got to worry about your health. You ain't got to worry about your food. You ain't got to worry about your electric bill. You ain't got to worry about your...
God said, I'll supply your needs according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. More than what you ask God for. You better expect more.
God is better than a baker's dozen. God is better than get one. If you buy one, get one free. BOGO. God's better than BOGO.
Y'all seen the commercials? It's better than all that stuff.
But you got to trust in the land of wisdom, because when you trust God and you believe God, you're going to ask God for some stuff.
Solomon's heart was in the right place. It was where God needed his heart to be. He wanted to be able to handle the assignment that God had bestowed upon him. And see, we need to probably get that thing straight. Kopas and I will hand you a piece of paper. God will give you the assignment. It's your job to take what we gave you on the paper and go to God with it. God, this is what my pastors gave me to do for 2013. Is this what you would have? And we are grown up enough in the Lord to understand if God tell you no, not yet, wait, or yes. But whatever he tell you, he's going to be able to supply you with what you need. Because if it's not that, it's something else. Because if your heart's in the right place, you're not just going to sit idle in the church. When your heart's in the right place, you can't just sit in church and let stuff just fall apart. And you know, they need to do this. Well, who are you? You are a member of the church. Well, Pastor, what y'all need to do? Well, hallelujah. Did God speak to you about that? You're the only one that saw that. I think that's a revelation. When your heart's right, you will see God for that which you need to bring blessing to the kingdom and glory to his name. King Solomon had his priorities in order.
And every now and then our priorities get out of order because stuff happens. In life, stuff happens.
But we need to go back to the altar and say, Lord, I need to get things right. He was in fact seeking first God's kingdom, and before he knew it, all these things were added unto him. God gets more than the glory out of your life. God will bless you with more than what you ask for. And I know we got some witnesses here today. God has blessed you with more. And because of how you handle the abundance, he's got some more.
There's some people struggling. They say, God ain't giving me enough. He's saying, because you weren't a good steward over what I gave you. You petitioned me and said, God, if you get me out of this, you say, God, if you pay this bill, I'll bless your house. God paid the bill. And he still wants you to bless the house. And that's not always with money.
Sometimes that's what God is calling you to do. Sometimes that's with, yes, Lord.
Sometimes when you bless God's house, it's with a yes, Lord. God says, stop looking around at everybody, thinking everybody don't like you, that you need everybody else's approval. And God says, this is me and you, because if you do what I ask you to do, I'll make your enemies your footstool. I'll put everything in place. I'll make sure you will see the spiritual and not the natural.
Getting all hooked up in folk, and I don't know if I should say this, that somebody in the church might get mad. So what?
You think I'm going to be unblessed because somebody got mad?
Come on. Oh, we use excuses sometimes. That's all. We just look for excuses. I can't. God, I ain't got time for that. I got time to work five jobs, but I ain't got time to serve you.
That's why he says, that's why when you go and count your money, you put it in a purse with holes in it.
Because I'm not in it. But when we become stewards of what God has given us, not just money, our lives, our gifts and everything, he will give you more. It'll blow your mind. There's some people in the church right now, they never thought when God allowed us to start this church 14 and a half years ago, they'd be doing what they're doing. They will tell you. They will tell you. They had no idea. Because they were crazy. See, I got y'all that time. Y'all be saying, I'm crazy. I got y'all first. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's a connection between God being first and you being blessed. There's one thing, if God said, I'm going to give you a $50,000 home, don't shout for the $25,000 home. Because there's still another $25,000 added. Keep on looking. Have a spirit of expectation. Expect God to do the best in your life. Turn to Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to tell you the kind of God we're dealing with. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. What did somebody say? General Electric Power Company. Yeah. Galatians, Ephesians. That's what they said. GEPC. General Electric Power Company. All those little books are together. Ephesians 3:20. Yeah, we learned a lot of stuff on Tuesday down in Center City. Ephesians 3:20. Anybody familiar with that verse? Come on.
But see, that's not for the faint heart. That's not for the wishy-washy Christian. That's for the Christians who are actually saying, God, I'm lining up with you. God, I can't see it, but by faith, because I know you're not a man where you should lie. I know you don't play games. I know you don't dangle carrots and everything, God. But I trust you with my life because my life is actually through you. My eternal life is through you. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him
that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh what? Yeah. What do you think was working in Solomon that night when God appeared up there? The power of God that working with us, the spirit of God that working within us, that requires us, that motivates us to ask for the things that we want to bless God's kingdom and to bring him glory. And the rest will come along. Oh, my God, my God. You ever been real nice to somebody?
And they had a chance to bless you, and they just throw that in for good measure. Come on.
God said, you know what? Because he don't need it. The windows of heaven are open. Can somebody give me the measurements of the windows of heaven for next Sunday?
Try me. Prove me here with if I won't open the window. Does it say windows or just windows? Somebody help me with that. Windows. Can you imagine what they look like? And he says, there shall not be room enough to what? I'm talking about overflow and abundance. Because my heart is right. And because I asked God for what I needed, he gave me what he wanted me to have. And because I'm his child, he gave me more than what I asked for.
More than what you asked for. Solomon probably would have been satisfied with receiving wisdom and knowledge. But the way I look at this thing, God said, I ain't satisfied with just giving you that.
Uh-huh. You can imagine God loving you so much. I'm glad you asked me for wisdom and knowledge, but I love you so much, Solomon.
I love you so much for being on point for me. I love you so much for understanding that I'm the one that gave you the kingship. I'm the one that gave you all these people. I love you so much that I'm going to do better than wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to give you riches and wealth. I'm going to give you so much else. You see, man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And you got to understand that. We can fool each other. We could be so much more sanctified and holier than thou up in here. And God, when you get to the altar, get to your closet, God said, who are you fooling?
Take that foolishness off. I'm God. Amen. And I'm about tired of you playing with my church and playing with my ministry
and playing with me. Because those people's lives are in your hands. Anybody know when you're in ministry, your life, the eyes of people, God put them in your hands? I wish somebody understood that. When you're in ministry, when you're dealing with kids, you know you're molding their lives. Do you know when you're out there witnessing and preaching and teaching, and when you put your hands on folk healing them, do you know what you're really doing? God said, this ain't no game. This is not for you to be seen. This is not for people to laud you and call you across the country. So you go, this is for my glory. So when you ask for whatever you ask for, God going to give you more. The next time you and I ask God for something, consider why we're asking for it. But as we close out, there's one thing that you and I do not have to ask God for. Turn to John 3:16-17. You don't have to ask God for that. Some people just say that's a freebie. And then again, it's not free because somebody paid. It's free. Salvation is free, but guess what? Somebody paid the cost. I began to think about that a long time ago. They said, here's a free gift. And when you read the small print, somebody paid for it, or somebody donated it. Somebody paid for what you and I got free. Somebody paid for our salvation. What you and I got free. Let's close to John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I come to let you know today, sometimes I petition God for the wrong stuff and the wrong thing, and sometimes my heart ain't right. But when it comes to salvation, I did not have to petition God for that. That is free. God already paid for that. That's mine. All I had to do was say yes.
Some things you don't have to ask God for. Some things you just have to say yes. And salvation, all you got to do is say yes.
It's free to me, but he paid the price. Jesus made the transaction on Calvary. Hallelujah. He went down in the ground when they buried him in a borrowed tomb. Some transactions take longer than others, especially when they think you don't have no money on your card.
Some transactions
take longer than others. They got to go call this and go call that. Well, they thought they had it all sealed up and done. They thought they had it. They thought it was over. Somebody has spoken death on your life, on your ministry,
on your gift. They thought they had you. They rolled a stone up to your life and they put some wax around it. But what they didn't know was that God wasn't finished yet.
I was telling somebody the other day, there's a seed under the ground that you can't see what's growing. Please be patient with me. God's not through with me yet. See, I'm going to come up with more than what I asked God for. I just asked God to save me and to keep me, to keep me in perfect peace, to bless my mind and renew my mind for his glory. But I'm going to come up with more than what I asked for. Somebody that counted you out. Somebody crossed you off. Somebody looked at you, didn't like the way you looked, didn't like the way you lived. Didn't think you ever going to be nothing because you didn't have what they had. But they didn't understand you had God. So they put that thing on you. But see, that's all that is. That's just you going for your Good Friday. That's all. That's your crucifixion. But see, they didn't know. They did not know. They did not know that in 3 days. You ever tell somebody, let them talk. You ever tell your kids, don't worry about them other kids, let them talk. But in about 3 days, they know God's going to turn your life around. And now they want to be your friend. Be a Christian, let them be your friend. Just be careful. Be a Christian. Don't lie. You was an athlete at me and talking about me. You was such a talk about me. No, don't do that. I know it feels good. It's very therapeutic. You know, it's good just to rub it in their face. But don't do that. But they didn't know. Like Jesus, they thought they had him. The enemy thought he had you. But they didn't know you walked up and filled up your prayer, praise and worship center church about a month ago and gave your life to Christ.
And sometimes the enemy wants to get you so quick, they don't know the details of your life.
The enemy come moving on some old news.
But guess what? I got good news.
I got some real good news. On the third day, he got up out of the grave with all power in his hands. Said, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Hallelujah. Everything gonna be all right. In my Father's house, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house
of the Lord. See, somebody needs to understand, I might not have everything that I prayed for yet, but it's on the way. That's why I'm cleaning my house. That's why I'm making room in my life, because God's not through with me yet. He's not ready to bless me real good. Hallelujah. Go ahead and talk. Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and ostracize me. But God's been talking to me. He appeared to me in the night hour. And he said, ask of me whatever you would. I said, God, get the glory out of my life. And God said, because you allowed me to get the glory out of your life, I'm going to bless you with more than you asked for. Let them talk. Let them talk. They don't understand what God's doing in your life. It's you that understand the power of God. God, you made me this. God, you kept me through dangers seen and unseen. God, you've been my strong tower. You've been my stronghold in the day of... God, you the one that healed me through that doctor and through that medicine. And when it's all said and done, thank you, mama. Thank you, daddy. Thank you, cuz. Thank you, uncle. Thank you, aunt. But when you get in your closet, you know God worked through them. Ain't nothing wrong with telling folks thank you, but give God the glory. Because nobody know your testimony like you. You know what you've been through. You know you were at death's door. You know they said you wouldn't be healed. You know they said you had that condition for the rest of your life. And here's the rest of your life and you ain't got the... Let us all stay. I'm talking to somebody today. More than what you ask God for. So God, our service, supply your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.